Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. Can you believe it? It's late at night. Night owls, this is our time. We're doing a special Book Lights tonight. I'm so excited because who we're having on is Sheila English, who actually started Readers Entertainment Radio. Did you know she was a writer? I bet you didn't. But anyway, I'm so excited Sheila is here. We've been talking about having her on the show, and it finally worked out. It just worked out late at night, so I hope you're all staying up late and listening in. And if you don't know Sheila yet, I'm going to read her bio, and you'll be very impressed. It's quite the bio. So she's an author, producer, entrepreneur, and radio show host. And Sheila went from 18 years in the medical field and 5 years teaching clinical laboratory science to becoming the CEO of a top book trailer company in the United States. It's a right brain, left brain synergy that has served her well. She's also the owner of the trademark term book trailer. Told you she was a big deal. Sheila went on to become a speaker on such topics as content production, marketing, branding, social media, and, of course, book trailers. She's spoken at Book Expo America, RWA, RT Book Lovers, International Thriller Writers Thriller Fest, Women's Fiction Festival in Italy, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous, and also the Mink Conference and many other prestigious events. Sheila can be found on IMDb and has won more awards for book trailers than anyone else in the industry. And if you love Christine Feehan books, you have seen Sheila's amazing book trailers. They're like their own miniature movie. It's just so cool. Anyway, Wall Street Journal and several other television talk shows have also featured her. And you can find out more at her website. I did put a link to Sheila's writer website. It looks like on her website she does have the different, you know, she separated it out for you. So if you want to see book trailers or books or whatever, but tonight we're going to talk books. So, Sheila, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Yay! Well, thank you for making book lights so that we can all talk books.
I love the show. You've had a lot of amazing authors on your show.
Yeah, it has been so exciting. Yeah, we had Christine Feehan and Christopher Rice and Doug Clegg. And I also got to talk to Steve Alton, who wrote the Meg book that turned into the giant summer blockbuster. And I got to talk to him the week he was going to see his movie. It was so cool. He hadn't seen it yet. So anyway, if you're listening to podcasts, look those up. Sheila, you have a new graphic novel.
I do, yes. Adam Frankenstein Dogfight just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it went right away to number one on Amazon in its category, right?
It did, yeah. I was pretty surprised. It's my first comic that I've ever done, and it was just kind of an interesting process, just a journey getting it put up at all. So, you know, got it going, and I looked the next day just to pretty much check to make sure, you know, that everything was working all right and people
clicked
the link was just shocked to see that it was the number one new release in comics. And I had no idea that was going to happen. That was really cool.
Yeah, and how did you decide to make it into a graphic novel? Did you find an artist? Did you already know the artist? How did it all come together?
You know, I got lucky. I've always wanted to do something like this, and I love comics. I go to Comic-Cons. I've been a speaker at San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, you know, talking about urban fantasy and other things that I write and do, and but, you know, I've always had that dream of having my very own comic. And so I started looking around for an illustrator and went to different online sites looking for someone. And I've you know, found a few people that, you know, they would do a character drawing, and that's how I started it. I gave them a description of my Adam Frankenstein character and asked them to draw it. I paid a small fee to them because I don't think anybody should work for free. And, and you know, it's like some one person did something that was more like anime, and that wasn't what I had in mind. And somebody else did something that looked like he was the guy from Curious George. He's like, no, that's not what that guy looks like. Big yellow hat and the whole nine yards.
Uh-huh.
And so it was really hard. So I finally went through, it's called freelancer.com. And what's nice about Freelancer is that, you know, you get all these reviews, and so you can see, you know, how somebody has worked. I actually hired a company to begin with. And the way that Freelancer works is that you put a deposit down, and Freelancer holds
mm-hmm.
it. And both parties have to agree that the work was completed before Freelancer releases the money. So nobody can just take your money and run, because it's held on to by a third party who gets like 8%. Yeah, it was actually good for the first time. Now, I don't need to use that now because I found someone and I'm working with him directly for the second comic. But I was introduced to Evan Scale, and he's a young gentleman from Greece, and he's going to college taking economics and doing illustration here on the side, and he is so incredibly talented, and I really feel like if you saw it, you know, it's like, I think he's part of the reason that we hit number one. You just take a look at the cover, and, you know, they let you look inside, so you get to see a couple of pages, you know, before you buy, and just look mm-hmm. at that artwork, and it's phenomenal artwork. We were a really good match. It was almost like he could look into my mind and see what I was trying to get across. And we just clicked.
Did you guys have a language barrier? Does he speak English?
No. He speaks English. And
he does. Okay.
For anybody that doesn't know, whenever you're going to create a comic, you, whoever the writer is, writes a script. So it's kind of like a movie script, which was right up my alley, because I've written scripts for COS. I've written, you know, whole, you know, web series, web shows that I've written. So
right.
I taught myself. I did take a couple of short classes, some online, one that I went to, Anne Elizabeth was there. She writes comics, and Marjorie Liu, who's won a lot of awards for her comics.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me a lot, which I really appreciate. I can't say enough about Anne Elizabeth. She's amazing. But
isn't she? She's amazing.
Oh,
she is amazing. Yeah.
So, and the script is it's interesting. It is a little bit different. I'm very hands-on. I'm a very visual person, so I would take pictures and say, okay, it looks like this, except I would change it, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I even would say what the panels would look like. So because the panels say something to people who read comics. So if a panel, where it's placed and how it's shaped, actually tell part of the story. And that's something that you do have to learn. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wrote, the script is probably about 50 pages, maybe 60 pages long, because it has a lot of description. And, of course, the comic is
right.
24 pages.
And you do,
so,
when you're writing a script for comics, you also put in, like, you know, you have to build the setting for the artist, too, don't you?
So when I very first start the script, I knew I would have, there were four locations, and there were six characters that he needed to draw to spec. And then there were some other characters that I just kind of said, okay, this person is kind of like this. I don't care what he looks like as long as he meets these requirements. And then he could make it up himself. Because I wanted Evan to enjoy the process too, so that he'd be into it. And, you know, you have somebody who's enthusiastic about the project, you just get a better product. And so,
yeah.
So you start with describing, you know, the locations and the people, and then you go from there. So he had an idea of, you know, where things were going to have to be. And then he would draw the characters, and that was really fun, but it was also scary because I have, you know, I know what Adam looks like in my head.
Right.
And so I think I had him make one, maybe two adjustments, but pretty much he had it perfect. He just had it perfect. So it was really exciting. It was a really interesting journey, and we enjoyed it. We were surprised to see that it was the number one new release in comics, and now we're planning on we're doing trading cards. We're gonna have some trading cards for Dragon Con. I'm doing Dragon Con this year. Yeah, so the second comic book should be out by the time, because that's Labor Day, by the time Dragon Con comes out. So we are already working on the second comic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, it is. And I know, because we're friends, I know who Adam Frankenstein is. But for listeners who've never checked it out, you want to explain to them your background on who Adam Frankenstein is? Because you've written a lot of stories about him.
Oh, yes. I've got lots of stories about Adam. So he is the Frankenstein creature. Frankenstein, originally written by Mary Shelley back in the 1800s. And, you know, it's interesting because Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is very different from the Hollywood Frankenstein. And my Adam actually follows Mary Shelley's Adam. Now, she didn't call him Adam. He calls himself Adam during a monologue that he says. But when she finally revealed who she was, because she first published Frankenstein anonymously because she was, you know, a young girl, teenage girl.
A woman, right?
Well, a teenager, yeah. Back then, she'd be considered a woman. But when she wrote it, being a woman, writing horror like that, she published it anonymously. And later on, she did reveal who she was. And because of who her parents are, both of them being famous in their own right for what they wrote, she was accepted into the literary society. So, but her Frankenstein is intelligent, and he's well-spoken, and he's thoughtful, mm-hmm. and he's trying to figure out, you know, life, and that's the Frankenstein that I wanted. You know, the question being, if you weren't born, if you were created, somebody made you, you don't have a family, and
mm-hmm.
and everyone who sees you either fears you or wants you dead, then how does your personality develop over time if you're immortal? You know, it's like, what kinds of experiences might this person, this creature, have, and how does that shape them? So it's, you know, kind of nature versus nurture, a little bit of Hellboy in there, I guess, but really,
right.
There's a philosophy. And a lot of, if you read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and it's still fantastic today. It's just amazing, amazing story. And so I hope people will be inspired to actually read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. But, you know, there's a lot of philosophy in that, in who he is, you know, being rejected. And anybody who's familiar with the actual book, you know, even the movies, you realize the monster actually isn't Adam. The monster,
yeah,
of the story is the doctor. Yeah, Dr. Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
is the monster. Scientist is the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I take a lot of the scenes from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and kind of pay homage to that. You know, there's a scene in there that stuck with me, just stuck in my heart. where he's out in the forest. He has nobody. He has nothing. And he's out in the forest, and he comes across a cottage, and there's a family living there. And he hides in their shed, and he just watches them, and he fantasizes about being accepted by this family. What would it feel like if someone thought of him as a brother? What would it feel like if somebody accepted him? And he starts doing things like he goes and he cuts up the wood for them, and then he goes and hides out to watch their reaction, because that's almost like being a part of the family. They're reacting to something he did. And you think of the desperation that must have been in his heart to want so desperately to connect and to be completely rejected, you know, everywhere he went. And so that's it's not the Universal Studios Frankenstein where he couldn't talk and he's green, he's got bolts in his neck. That was never Mary Shelley.
Right.
As a matter of fact, electricity had nothing to do with it. He was, the actual Frankenstein was created with chemicals. So, you know, Hollywood got a lot of that wrong.
They added lightning.
Yes. Yeah, they added a lot. So the comic book is based off of a short story. I have now two books that have short story collections. And my first collection of short stories won Best of 2016 in the category of horror by Suspense Magazine. So that was really exciting. And one of the stories there had to do with... So I have Adam Frankenstein, modern day. He's a U.S. Marshal. And so in the short stories, it goes back and forth. The short stories are about his development. So there's stories where he learns lessons. And I'm writing novels right now that I'm shopping around. I have three of them written. And those are all
nice.
He's a U.S. Marshal. He's got these assignments. He works part of the time, real assignments, like a U.S. Marshal. I actually have a U.S. Marshal that helps me to make sure that I have all of the legal stuff correct. So that's kind of nice and nice to have. And then on the other side for Adam, he also sometimes does some side work for Mary Shelley's League of Supernatural Hunters. And that he only sometimes trusts. So the idea was, in my mythology, Mary Shelley, you know, meets Adam and has a heart for him, but that's when she first realizes there are other creatures in the world, and she goes out and she decides, you know, she wants to find out more about these creatures, which ones are dangerous, which ones need help. And back then, of course, there's no internet, there's no telephone. There's nothing. So she created this. She had this idea that her hunters would put their information into fiction novels. So, for example, Bram Stoker is actually a character in one of my books. He's a hunter. So the idea is he wrote Dracula and put information about vampires in it to disseminate it to other hunters. So all the classic horror writers are actually hunters in my mythology. So
I love those.
I got a whole world. Yeah, it's a whole world that I'm trying to develop with Adam.
Yeah, and what first attracted you to the whole Frankenstein? I mean, obviously, it super inspired you because you've written all these short stories and you have three novels done, and now you have comic books. So what was it when you read that you know, went, oh, my gosh, there's so many more stories to tell about Frankenstein?
You know, I think I've always been interested in Frankenstein. I, even at a young age, and I watched the old Boris Karloff Frankenstein. You know, I always realized the monster was Dr. Frankenstein. It was always the same. I knew
right.
that even as a child. I realized, I comprehended that this creature, even though he was doing bad things, was also a victim. And it always
right.
kind of called to me. You know, you see a lot of people who have been abandoned, and who have been rejected for things that are beyond their control, you know, and that I've always had a heart for that. So, and I think a lot of people do have been interested in Frankenstein in different ways. You know, there's been so many movies about Frankenstein, and there are other books. Dean Koontz has a series about Frankenstein, how he imagines him, which is very different from
right.
mine. But, you know, I just was so intrigued by, you know, if he were immortal, if he continued to live on, and this was his, you know, this was his life, to be constantly rejected, never accepted, always feared and hated, you know, what
mm-hmm.
would he be like today? And what would he be doing? And so the very first thing I did with Adam was I thought, you know, I don't think that human beings can develop into good people without love, both receiving love and realizing they have the ability to love. So one of the first things
right.
I did to Adam, for Adam, was I gave him a dog. Because dogs do not care what they look like. They don't care about anything. And he, right? So his dog is immortal.
Dogs are the best.
So dogs are the best. So Bella is his dog. She's a little min pin. I actually own a min pin named Bella, so she's my dog, and I gave her to
Aww.
Adam fictionally.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that dog changed everything for my character. So I have stories that predate Bella, and he's a little more aggressive and monstrous. And then I have stories that are after he gets Bella, and all of a sudden you see the difference. Because love changes people.
That's
and so
true.
And I try to have each of the short stories be meaningful in some way. I mean, I'm not trying to be preachy, you know, I'm hoping people
mm-hmm.
really enjoy them. But I think that Adam Frankenstein is a way for us to examine ourselves and who we are and who we can be. And,
right.
And so I try to hold that mirror up, and it's, you know, and so like I have a story called Madam and the Madman, and that's in the new collection. It's called Search for a Soul, and he's given this opportunity to get revenge over somebody who has really wronged him, and he has to really asks himself if. By taking that revenge, of course, that's going to feel good. But what does that actually do to who he is fundamentally? And so that
mm-hmm.
that question is asked. So each one does, I'm hoping that it's pretty clear by the end of the short story what he's learned from that story. And that you see this,
right.
some kind of epiphany or character arc through that. And what I'm hoping will happen is when the novels come out, people will be reading the novel and hopefully have read the short stories and read the comic books. And when he comes up to a situation, they're going to feel like they know him so well because they knew what his past was that they,
right.
they'll start trying to predict what he's going to do in this new situation. And to me, that's, as an author, that's what you want. You want people to be so invested in this character that they feel for everything he goes through.
Right. Do you I don't know if you stream TV shows, but did you ever catch Penny Dreadful?
You know what? I saw maybe the first three or four. Now, I had already started writing Adam when Penny Dreadful came out.
Right.
And I loved it. It's different than what I'm doing because, well, Penny Dreadful, is the short stories are a little more like the Penny Dreadful, but
right.
but the novels are all modern day. But, yes, and I loved it. I love the reimagining.
Someday you have to finish it because the Frankenstein character has this really interesting arc because the way they dreamed it up, he had a family before they found his body and brought him back. And so he finds his family, and you just, I mean, he has a really interesting character arc. So if you're into Frankenstein, you need to watch.
Nice.
I think it's only 3 seasons, but it is so cool, and it will rip your heart out, the Frankenstein, because it has a werewolf and vampires, and, you know, it has all the traditional monsters, but it's the Frankenstein one that will rip your heart out and stomp all over it. Oh, my gosh. It was really good. Before we run out of time, I want to tell everybody that you're going to be at Book Lovers in New Orleans, and you have a special panel there with your Starfish group, and I just think it's so cool that you guys have been together so long. Can you tell everybody about what is the Starfish group?
So Starfish, we gave ourselves a name, and we're a bunch of writers at different stages in our careers that we're here to, you know, we brainstorm together, we support one another, we talk about the industry, you know, it's we've really bonded over the years, and my Starfish group is Christine Feehan, Karen Rose, Susan Edwards, C.L. Wilson, Cheryl Wilson. Well, I think most people will recognize those names. And then, you know, myself, of course, and my friend Kathy, who it writes this time and crime series. It's not out yet, but holy cow, it's really good. Got a little bit of time travel. But and then Brian Feehan, Christine Feehan's son. He's a fabulous writer in his own right. I just read one of his books. It's not out yet, but holy cow, I've never read anything like it. It's so amazing. So
glad I got to meet him at the final RT, and we had this long talk about writing, and anyway, I'm so happy for him because I know he's been working at it for a super long time, and it's extra hard when a family member is, you know, a huge deal. I had the same conversation with Christopher Rice, you know, your mom's Anne Rice. So how do you know, when your book is really good enough and you know people are going to compare it, you know, to your parent. And so anyway, Brian was telling me he was been working on this book and working on it. And so I'm so glad to hear it came, that he finished and it's good. Yay.
Yeah. It's amazing, and I've never read anything like it, so I can't wait till it gets, you know, gets published. That'll be really exciting.
Yeah, and you guys have been together for what did you tell me, 15 years, something like that?
Yeah, a little over 15 years we've been together. Different people, you know, kind of come and checked it out, and you know, Susan and Karen are the newest to the group, and they've been with us for several years. But the core group has been together a little over 15.
That's amazing. Because I was telling you off the air, I was in an online writers group, and as soon as we all got published, we stopped, you know, getting together and group chatting and stuff like that because everybody got busy, and so it gets really hard. And I love that you guys make time for each other to, you know, powwow and get back together. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, we're doing one event, and then we're doing a panel. And it's the first time we've done it together as our team. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be super cool. So readers, if you're listening, Book Lovers is a brand new, this is the first year of the convention, and it will be in New Orleans. And I'm so bummed I'm not going because I love New Orleans. But anyway, but go and see Sheila, and Christine Feehan will be there. And who else is going to be there? I can't. Now I'm drawing a blank. But
Sylvia Day, lots of big named authors, lots of just really talented people.
Yeah, is Jara Ward going to be there too, I think?
You know what? I'm not sure, and I'm not looking at the site. It's booklovers.com. If people go to it's booklovers.com, I think. I'll have to go look it up, but they'll say who all is going to be. Yeah, booklovers.com frankensteinkillers.com. And
okay. Yeah. So everyone go to that. It's going to be a fabulous conference with lots of great events and things so that you can actually meet the author besides just get a book signed. So it's extra fun. And I can't believe we're out of time. That went by super fast. Sheila, do you have anything else to add before she hangs up?
No, I think we covered everything. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on, and have a great time at Book Lovers.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Book Life.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.